In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Lord tells us today another parable about the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he speaks about the kingdom of heaven in his parables, and there are many, many parables, he is speaking in two ways about this kingdom. Sometimes parts of the parable are about what the kingdom is like. And other parts of the parable especially are about how to gain the kingdom, how to live so that we would be in the kingdom. Because when the Lord speaks of the kingdom, he is speaking of a way of living, of a way of being, of what we should become. Because the kingdom of heaven is what we become. Because if we become good and holy and humble and meek, then when we see the one who is good and holy and meek, we will be filled with joy and not with fear and with shame. So he is speaking here about how we should live. This parable is very much like the parable about the vineyard, the parable about the wedding feast, the parable about the one who owed 10,000 talents. All of them, in essence, say the same thing. We were created to know God. We were created to be good. So when God gives us His mercy, we are obligated to live with that mercy and to become what He is. Of course, we cannot become God, but we can share in His goodness by becoming like Him, by emulating the God-man Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live in such an excellent way. So all of these parables basically say the same thing. When the grace of God descends upon a man, he must use this grace to the good. He must become like Jesus Christ. If we do not become like God, then in the end, the Lord would say, I don't know you. Or the Lord would say, take away that talent and give it to the one who has already more talents. What are these talents? Or what is this working in the vineyard producing? Or what is this white garment of the wedding feast? All of these things are about the grace of the Holy Spirit and obtaining the grace of the Holy Spirit. If you note, in the end, when the Lord brings together the three servants, He gives a talent to the one who already has 10. This is showing He's not going to take away these talents from His servants when they report to Him, because these talents are what they have become. They have become vessels of the Holy Spirit, and this can never be taken away from them. So he's using this image of money, which generally when you earn it for your Lord, it belongs to your Lord. It doesn't belong to the servant. But in this case, this money belongs to us. What we become belongs to us. The Lord gives it to us, never to be taken away again. So if we become good, then the Lord will accept our goodness and accept us, saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been good in maintaining a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many things. If we have become bad, then the Lord will say, you have had your chance. I don't know you anymore. Put them where there are those who will weep and gnash their teeth. Not so much as it were a punishment for what we have done or not done, but a natural result of what we have done. We are made for greatness. We are made to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And if we say that we love God, then we would live like Him. Because how can we say we love someone and then not obey them? And not emulate them? And not respect them? It's not possible. So if we say we love God, then we must take the talents that He has given us, that is, the Holy Spirit, and we must multiply this in our heart. Of course, the Holy Spirit is indivisible. We cannot multiply. He is already in abundance. But we can make ourselves vessels so that He will fill us more completely. And this is what is the gaining of the talents. The living of our life so that we become good, so that our vessel becomes bigger and more spacious and without any dark spots whatsoever, so that the light of the Holy Spirit will fill us. This is what those servants did who had the five and the two talents. They lived their life in such a way that they became receptacles for holiness. And the Lord would never take this holiness from us, because this indeed is the purpose of our life. Now the one who had the one talent, he spoke the truth concerning his Lord. He said it in a very harsh way, but our Lord agreed with him. The one who had the one talent did not multiply it. This is likened to the person who is baptized but does not live a Christian life. And by the way, such a one, you can't tell the difference between him and the one who has five talents and then ten, and the one who has two talents and then four. Most of the time, they look the same. You'll be standing next to them. They'll be in church. They'll be in commerce. They'll be in your daily life. And you won't be able to see the difference, because God knows the difference. And as a little aside, I have to mention about the commemoration today of St. Edward, the Passion Bearer and King of England. The gospel which is given for him is that which talks about that there's nothing that shall be covered that shall not be uncovered. There's nothing hidden that shall not be made known. This is speaking of the gathering of talents, or the burying of them. Edward, the Passion Bearer and King, was only about 18 years old when he was murdered. And he gave himself up to murder without resisting. And then he was forgotten. Those who had murdered him went on with their careers and got their small amount, as it were, one person once said, their 15 minutes of fame. And then they died. And Edward had already died. But the Lord did not hide His grace that He had given to St. Edward. The talents that Edward in his short life had collected brought forth great healings to those who came to his grave. And although he was a non-entity to those who thought that they were something, to the politicians of the day and those who created their little intrigues for themselves, he was unknown to the world, but known to those who love God. It is the same with those who gather talents. Unknown to the world, perhaps even despised by the world. Nothing special to the world whatsoever. But in God's eyes, they are precious and holy. This had best be us, because we are given talents. The Holy Spirit abides in us because we have been baptized, but He will leave us if we do not live as we have been taught, as we must become. Now back to from my aside about St. Edward, such a great saint, to what I wanted to tell you about this one man who had the one talent. He said things about our Lord which might seem to be rude, but they are true. He said, "I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast what is thine." All that he speaks is true. The Lord will not reap where he has not sown, or gather where he has not strown. In other words, he gives us the grace of the Holy Spirit, but then we are to live with this grace. We are to do good. We are as like the innkeeper, where the Lord says, "Take care of him." and when I return, I will repay thee. The Lord only took care of the man who had been by the road for only one night. And then He told the innkeeper to care for him. That is us. The Lord does not reap where He has not sowed. We are to sow, and we are to reap. We are to do good. The one who creates the vineyard, He does not plant the grapes. He tells His servants to do such. He makes everything available. He has the rootstock available, but He does not put holes in the ground and plant it. His servants do. So it is with us. The Lord gives us grace, and then we are to live according to this grace, and we are to do good in the world. What did the Lord say to His apostles? He says, greater things than these shall ye do. We are to do greater things than our Lord, because to anyone in the world, we are to bestow God's grace upon them by the way we live, the way we act, by the way we minister, by the way we care. This is a great and high calling. It is true that the Lord will reap where He has not sowed, because He is reaping the grace which we have multiplied, which He originally has given us, and we, through our actions, through our love, have multiplied it. This is a very important point. We are to multiply the talent God has given us. And as I said earlier, all of these parables, the vineyard, the wedding feast, the one who owed the 10,000 talents, and this one about the kingdom of heaven being like a man giving talents to his servants and then going away, they all are saying the same thing. Multiply your talents. God gives you grace. Now you must do something with it. The Apostle James told us something that we should remember every day. Faith without works is dead. And we could paraphrase this by saying, being an Orthodox Christian without being holy is dead. Saying that we are Christian and not loving our neighbor is dead. To say that we love God and not to love our neighbor is dead. To come to the holy mysteries and to not better our life and better those around us by our love is dead. And so on and so forth. We are to become holy. The Lord has given us talents, which He will not take away unless we do nothing to multiply them. So let us be like the one with the 5 talents or with the 2. We all are of different abilities. Some of us will become better than others. This is true. But the Lord, if you notice, said exactly, verbatim, word for word, the same thing to the one who had 2 talents as the one who had 5 and had multiplied, doubled the 5 and doubled the 2. Exactly the same thing. He gave them the reward. And He was pleased with them in the same way. So, regardless of how good we can do or not, let us, to the utmost of our abilities, multiply our talents. And then we will hear in the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen.